collegiately speaking.
Walks into the end zone.
Touchdown.
Punches to the end zone.
Touchdown.
This is Collegiately Speaking. With the voice of Northwestern football and basketball, Dave Enning, and former Northwestern star quarterback, Dan Persa. It's Collegiately Speaking. Let's go.
And welcome to another edition of Collegiately Speaking, as the 2024 college football season is now officially off and rolling for just about everybody, and that includes the Northwestern Wildcats, who opened the season with a victory over the defending Mid-American Conference champion Miami Redhawks, 13-6 at Northwestern Medicine Field at Martin Stadium on a beautiful Saturday last weekend, Labor Day weekend. Dave Enning here with the former Northwestern quarterback Dan Persa. I know, Dan, you were traveling last weekend. A lot of people were over the holiday. And I know you've heard this from countless people, just what a cool venue that was for this game. And but I'm sure if you watched it, you saw how it looked on TV. It was spectacular.
Yeah, it was sparkling. I think it was great on TV. It was an infomercial for the university for 3.5-4 hours, and everybody I talked to, you know, that was there had a great time, had a great experience. You know, there's obviously some kinks that need to be worked out and will continue to be improved on. But I think it's everything that the athletic department and the fans hope for, and will only get better as time goes on.
You know, we talked a lot last week about how the fans would react in those kind of close confines, and what kind of a crowd there would be. Of course, it was sold out, and the fans were there, and they were enthusiastic, and they made a lot of noise, and they had some moments where there was good reason to make some noise.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm excited to get out there this weekend for the first time and just see kind of the flow of the tailgate and everything else, and get in the stadium. But it was a hotly contested game. I think it was a little bit closer than it probably should have been with a couple fumbles. But, you know, Northwestern is going to have to win a lot of close games this year. And let's just remember that the Redhawks won the MAC last year, which is a great conference. This is a good win. And it is a tough opponent out of the gate, and now they have Duke coming into town, which is another tough opponent. So I think overall, you know, you pass the initial test. Some things to clean up, you know, especially on offense, but I thought the defense played great, and the coaching staff really had a solid outing.
We knew, and I think you and I talked about this, and we're going to visit with the quarterback for the Wildcats, Mike Wright. He's going to join us in just a few minutes. Made his debut on Saturday, but this is a team which clearly had a defensive identity last year, and really we saw that kind of come forward in the Las Vegas Bowl against Utah, where they really shut down the Utes in that. But, you know, I think you saw it here against a team which not only won their conference and is a solid program, won 11 games last year, but had a quarterback who's starting for the 40th time. And a lot of experience in their backfield, an experienced offensive line, and a good offensive line. And the Cats held them under 270 yards of total offense.
Yeah, I think, you know, the front seven for Northwestern did a great job. They're battling a couple injuries, obviously, as we've talked about. But the linebackers, I thought, played a great game. Mack Uline had a great game. Kenny Soares was kind of all over the field when he was in there, but the defense was in nickel a lot. So I think, you know, especially as the team faces a little bit more run heavy offenses, he'll find his way in there more. But I thought the defensive backs played great as well. Evan Smith, in his debut, played great, filling in for Ore, and Theron Johnson, I thought, had a great game, and Robert Fitzgerald obviously making that big play at the end, filling in for Coco. It's a tight unit. You could tell they're very well coached. They play together. You know, they're going to be fun to watch all season. I think at the end of the day, 13 points isn't going to win a lot of Big Ten games. So the offense needs to look itself in the mirror and know the defense isn't going to hold every opponent to 6 points. But I think it's likely a defensive led team again. But hopefully, you know, Coach Lujan and Mike Wright continue to improve and, you know, get into the 20s and 30s from a point scoring standpoint.
And I think the reaction afterwards was pretty much, yeah, we got some things we got to clean up. And of course, the fumble on the goal line, first and foremost, there was another lost fumble. The Wildcats only lost one fumble all of last season. They lost two on Saturday, but Those were their only two turnovers, and their defense came up with the two takeaways and four sacks. And the four sacks go down on paper, but you also had a number of pressures on Gabbert. I mean, they really did a good job collapsing the pocket. And conversely, Mike Wright wasn't touched by Miami's defensive front, which is also a very experienced defensive line. So, yeah, I think you kind of look at this game, you look at those things, and you see some guys who are contributing for the Wildcat defense. A guy, Jaden Cameron, playing on the defensive line, broke up a key pass and he just made some plays. And he hasn't even really been anywhere on the depth chart. And yet he comes in there and makes an impact.
Yeah, you know, as offenses continue to change and continue to get more spread out, people always forget that the game is always going to be won by keeping the quarterback clean and pressuring the quarterback. If you can affect the quarterback one way or another and protect the quarterback, you're going to be in every game. And I thought, you know, Northwestern did a great job. You know, watching Saka kind of tee off on third downs and bull rush people was pretty special. Watching Mac Uihlein, you know, react to some of those kind of almost coverage sacks was pretty special. And, you know, they'll have to continue to do that against quarterbacks that are increasingly improving in the Big Ten. And then, you know, keeping Mike Wright clean is huge, you know, allowing him to make plays like he did on that touchdown run, right? There's not always going to be open receivers. He's going to have to make plays with his feet, but giving him time to survey the field and then tuck it and run like he did. And I was really impressed with the play to Thomas Gordon as well, right? Having the frame of mind to escape to the left, keep his head upfield and seeing Thomas and just kind of flipping it to him. I mean, those are huge plays that they're going to have to continue to make. And that's as we talk with Mike about it, you know, those are plays that he needs to continue to make and are part of his personality in game.
And by the way, he's got some receivers.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned Gordon, but Bryce Kurtz, oh my, and we knew he was good, but he made a couple of great catches on Saturday. It's not unusual for him to do that, but I mean, those were just eye-opening. And Frank Covey, who we saw a little bit last year, he only played in two games. He got hurt. He missed most of the season. But he's another guy we've been hearing about him for a couple of years. Ricky Amorazzi, another guy, played a lot on Saturday, didn't catch a ball. But you know, I think you look at and you can see that there were only six guys that caught passes, but they're going to be able to spread the ball around more in this passing game.
Agreed. And I think the most impressive thing with a lot of those catches is they were heavily contested, right? You know, in the Big Ten, you have to make tight window throws and make contested catches. And Frank Covey seemed to catch everything that came his way. Bryce Kurtz had a lot of great catches. I think my one complaint with the offense, as we've talked about in the past, is just getting them, you know, easier completions early in the game to get people more involved. Similar to, frankly, what Miami was doing with the bubble screens, kind of chopping off, you know, 5 to 10 yards every time they threw that play and putting pressure on the corners to step up and make plays. I want to see a little bit more of that because I think it stretches the field horizontally and gets those guys involved so they are able to make those contested catches when they need to late in the game.
How much do you like the last possession when Northwestern needs a first down? Game's over, right? And Mike Wright's able to go out and get you 20 yards.
It's huge. I mean, those are the things you need to do in the fourth quarter. And as we know, this is going to happen in September, October, November in the Big Ten. All these games are going to come down to the fourth quarter for the most part, right? And you have to be able to convert. You have to be able to run the ball. And you need to make big plays to seal games, right? You know, there's so many good players in the Big Ten and so many quarterbacks and receivers that are just yearning for the opportunity to win games when you don't take advantage of those opportunities. So I think it's important to build that muscle memory early because you're going to need to do it. Northwestern's not going to blow out, you know, a bunch of teams this year, save a couple. And every Big Ten game is going to come down to those last few drives.
I know you look at 150 yards rushing. It's probably not where they want to be ultimately, but seeing Cam Porter get the ball and run the way he ran kind of looked like he was running maybe last year in the Purdue game, but before that, going back to 2020 when he kind of burst onto the scene with this football team and had the big game in the Citrus Bowl against Auburn. I mean, he looks like he's just 100%+ now health-wise, and I mean, I wouldn't like to try to tackle the guy.
No.
I don't think too many guys would.
No, he to your point, he looks leaner, right? I think he looks like he did a couple years ago. He looked quicker. I think the rushing stats were a little bit deceiving because a lot of those were kind of rights, mm-hmm. making improvising. And I think that's another room for improvement. In the first half, they struggled to really get the run game going. But again, like you said, when they needed to on long third downs and late in the game, they were able to kind of pound the ball and eat into some clock. And that's always going to be important, especially when the weather changes.
Well, this week they're going to get the Blue Devils a Friday night game under the lights. I think the atmosphere is going to be obviously once again supercharged at Northwestern Medicine Field. And this is a Duke team which has given the Cats fits the last couple of years. Last year, a pretty lopsided game, and they come in here. That game was 38-14 last year down at Wallace Wade Stadium. But now they have a new coach. They have Manny Diaz coming in. He coached against the Cats last year when Penn State came in, and he was their defensive coordinator. We know he likes to run all kinds of blitzes. We know that there's going to be some pressure on Mike that maybe he didn't see last week. But at the same time, you know, they were in a kind of a tight game with an FCS opponent, Elon, well into the third quarter of that game. They ended up winning 26-3. Much like the Wildcats, this looks like this is going to be a defensive-oriented football team, and this could be another really low-scoring game.
I think so. I think, to your point, Coach Diaz, it's going to be a defensive-led team that's going to show some pretty exotic looks on defense, and Northwestern's going to be having to be ready for that. I think Northwestern's probably thankful not to have to play against Riley Leonard again and while he's at Notre Dame. But, as we all know from watching football for however many years, the first game, while it's important, you know, so many teams make such a big jump from the first game to the second game, especially when they have new coaches and new players, right? So it's, you know, while they quote-unquote struggled with Elon, like, you know, who knows what that really means. But I think, to your point, I think it'll be another defensive battle. And whoever makes, you know, a couple big plays here or there and takes care of the ball will probably seal the game. But this is a really important game for Northwestern. This is a team they compete against recruiting-wise. Duke has really had their number the last couple of years, and it's a win Northwestern needs to stay on track with their goals.
Yeah, we're talking about the Cats having 4 sacks. They had 8 sacks last week in their win over Elon. So this is the second of the non-conference games, and then you get Eastern Illinois, an FCS team, coming in next Saturday. We'll get to that next week.
First down for the Wildcats in the red zone at the 13-yard line of Miami, looking to retake the lead. Here's the snap to Wright. Wright looking. Now tries to cut back. Now take off and run. He's to the 15, 10, 5, slides to the end zone. Touchdown! Well, welcome to the Wildcats, Mike Wright. Looking to throw, took off and run. We saw that second gear, maybe that third gear, a 13-yard touchdown run, and the Wildcats had their first touchdown of the season, and they're back in front.
Well, that was Saturday at Northwestern Medicine Field at Martin Stadium. The brand-new starting quarterback for the Wildcats, Mike Wright, scoring the game's only touchdown of the Wildcats' 13-6 win over the Miami Redhawks. And Mike's kind enough to join us now right off the practice field in Evanston. Mike, what was your thought when you walked out there and saw that stadium full of purple on Saturday?
I mean, first, you know, thank you guys for having me. But, I mean, when you walk out there and, you know, you see your family, you see your friends, and you just see all the supporters and fans, I mean, it was electric. I mean, what an exciting venue to play in, and even better to start off the season 1-0. So it was awesome.
So I have to tell you, we're watching you from up in the radio booth, and after you score the touchdown, I saw you make a loop around from that south end zone right along the front row of the seats on the west side of the stadium towards your bench. You're high-fiving people. That just looked like a tremendously, not only a fulfilling moment for you, but a really emotional moment for you.
Yeah, I think, you know, at that point in the game, I mean, you're coming out of halftime. You know, as a quarterback, you want to find different ways to spark some juice. and to create some energy. And so why not a perfect opportunity after a touchdown to get the team kind of fired up a little bit, go ahead and wake the fans up a little bit more, and kind of use as a momentum shift for us. And so, it was just a surreal feeling to get that first one, but also to kind of shift our mentality, you know, heading into the second half. So,
Mike, Dan Percy here. Thanks again for joining us. How do you think, you know, your performance was and the offense overall coming out of that first game, and what do you guys want to improve on going into Duke?
Yeah, I think, you know, our main goal is first to win. I mean, no matter what that looks like. Once you accomplish that main objective, everything else kind of becomes a little bit easier. I think we did a great job of moving the ball, sticking towards our game plan, getting playmakers the ball in space. I think we did a really great job at that. I mean, and then, of course, I mean, you go back and watch film, and there, of course, there's going to be things you want to clean up. I mean, the self-inflicted wounds is kind of the biggest thing for us, and that was really noticeable in the first half, and you kind of saw that shift towards the second half, and I feel like we played a way better second half. And so, but as always, I mean, you focus on different things that you want to clean up throughout the week. You focus on the new game plan, and so, you know, we feel ready to go come Friday.
How will Coach Lujan's offense continue to evolve over the season? What are some changes fans can look for as you guys get more comfortable playing together in live situations?
Yeah, I think, you know, one thing that Coach Lujan is amazing at is finding creative ways to get playmakers the ball. We have playmakers all over the field, at the receiver, tight end, and running back position. Our O-line has owned, you know, every single, you know, game plan and scheme and concept that we have. And so really just finding creative ways to get playmakers on our team the ball, and finding different ways of what that looks like. And so, you know, it'll be something, you know, different. Of course, there's always, you know, plays that you carry over, but, you know, we'll have different ways, you know, to put up some points.
Yeah, that's really exciting. Shifting the focus to Duke, obviously, Manny Diaz, first-year coach, obviously a very defensive-minded coach with exotic looks. I'm sure you guys have watched a lot of Penn State film over the last couple of weeks. What presents challenges from Duke to the offense that you guys are preparing for, and how do you plan to attack that?
Yeah, I think we have an amazing opportunity to play a great defense. As you kind of said, I mean, Coach Diaz is known for, you know, having, you know, different looks. And so we'll definitely be ready for it. But as far as Duke, I mean, they're a really good team. You know, when you look at them on film, they're really active up front, really active in the box seven, you know, play really well in the back end. And so for us, we see it as a great opportunity, you know, to play a good team. I mean, who doesn't want to play competitive teams? And so for us, it's really just about owning into the game plan, you know, studying film a little bit more. And at the end of the day, just going out there and attacking it. I mean, we play ourselves every week. I mean, as long as we can play Northwestern football, I mean, I love our chances.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about playing good teams, but you open with the defending MAC champs, a bowl team from last year. You play Duke, an eight-win team last year, a bowl team. A couple weeks down the road, you're going to play the defending national runners-up from a year ago. We'll get to that, though, later. Mike, I want to ask you about post-game. You're wearing a Justin Fields high school jersey. Can you tell us the story behind that?
One reason I put it on was it was right after the game, and you know how that is. You're sweating, you just find anything to pick up. So that's how that. But Justin has been a great friend of mine. I mean, we've grown up in the Atlanta area, have trained together for years, played on the same 707 team with Cam Newton, and just kind of stayed in contact throughout college. And so, I mean, he's kind of played a big, you know, role as far as just scheming and you know, just asking questions from a mentor, kind of big brother standpoint. That's my guy. And so happened to find, you know, get a high school jersey for him, his high school jersey. And so thought that was pretty cool. I didn't think anything of it just because, you know, I've worn it a couple of times. But, you know, it was cool.
You know, fans around here got used to watching Justin the last few years. And, I mean, when you ran for that first down on that last drive, I was kind of thinking, hey, that kind of looks like Justin Fields running the football out there.
No doubt. You know, he's a really great player, and he'll, you know, he's out there in Pittsburgh, and, you know, everybody back home in the Atlanta area, and I'm sure in this area in Chicago, too, is rooting for him, and can't wait to see what he does next.
No doubt. Well, Mike, we appreciate it. We can't wait to see what you do next. It's going to be fun. Friday Night Lights. When's the last time you played a Friday night game?
You know what? I actually have not played a Friday game since high school. Never had the opportunity. I played a Thursday game for the Egg Bowl, but I've never played on Friday. So it'll be a unique opportunity. Like you said, I mean, Friday night, you know, Allen Lake with the skyline behind you. I mean, what better opportunity can you draw up?
Yeah, and it's supposed to be a beautiful night as well. So, hey, Mike, we really appreciate your time. Congrats on the win and a great start with the Wildcats. And we'll see you out there on Saturday, on Friday night. All right. All right, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thank you.
There he is. Mike Wright, starting quarterback for the Wildcats. Good guy. A lot of energy. That's what you need.
Yeah, and you can tell, right? His teammates certainly are drawn to that, and he seems like, you know, for a guy that's only been there for a couple months, have developed a lot of great relationships, and guys certainly follow him. So wish him the best the rest of the season, and hopefully has a great game on Friday.
No question. So right now, since we're looking ahead to the weekend, it's time to get to Super Joe's predictions for this week.
Prediction: to say or estimate a specified thing will happen in the future.
Super Joe's predictions.
Thank you, gentlemen. As I mentioned last week, it's just so good to be back. Even after losing the under in the first half between two of the best offensive minds in the sport, it's great to be back. Oh, who am I kidding? Losing stinks, and I'm certainly not here to make a habit of it. A couple of ranked matchups this weekend, including the Longhorns of Texas traveling to Ann Arbor for their first ever visit to the Big House. Later on, NC State hosts the Vols Saturday night in a game that should be a fun way to wrap up the action in Week 2. We're going to head to Champaign, though, where the Illini play host to the Fighting Bill Selfs of Kansas. Did I make that joke last year? Not sure. Either way, Kansas was able to take care of business in Lawrence last season, and I don't see much changing this time around. The Jayhawks, currently ranked 19th in the country, are favored by 5 points in the game that will kick off on FS1 at 6 p.m. on Saturday. Kansas quarterback Jalen Daniels threw for 277 yards and 2 touchdowns in last year's matchup. I'd feel comfortable laying the full touchdown, but we don't have to. Jayhawks -5 is the pick. Back to you guys.
Oh, that might not go over so well with our friends to our south, but hey, we'll see what happens. Should be a good atmosphere. That game is sold out, so should be a lot of fun for that. And it should be a great night Friday in Evanston, the Cats and the Duke Blue Devils for an 8 o'clock kickoff. And, of course, we'll have it on WGN Radio starting at 7:30. And, Dan, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks again. A lot of fun.
We'll recap that one and look ahead to Eastern Illinois. Thanks to Mike Wright for joining us. Thanks to Dan Long for engineering and also our producer, Jack Heinrich, and Super Joe for his predictions. Now I'm Dave Ennett. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week on Collegiately Speaking.